This is the Revitalize My Church podcast, created to help churches navigate change and reorient to a new and healthy future. This episode is hosted by the Executive Director of Assist Church Expansion, Nathan Bryant, and his ministry colleague, Bart Blair.
Welcome to episode 7 of the Revitalize My Church podcast. My name is Bart Blair. I am the Director of Church Revitalization for Assist Church Expansion, and I am joined by Nathan Bryant, who is the Executive Director of Assist Church Expansion. Nathan, welcome back to another episode of the show.
Oh, it's great to be here, Bart. Thank you.
Well, you are welcome. Thank you for being here with me. And I'm sure our audience is going to thank you too for all of the wisdom and insight that you're going to bring into our conversation today.
We'll see.
Yeah. We're a few months into this podcast now. We have been talking for the last few episodes that you and I have recorded together about what we call our five big rocks, the five big rocks of church revitalization. These are priorities. You know, we think about the things that you need or should prioritize in a church revitalization. These are things that kind of come top of mind. These aren't the only things that need to be addressed and attended to during a season of renewal or revitalization, but they're things that
They give us a structure to work with, right? Too,
yeah, as for well. Sure. Yeah. So give us some framework, give us some structure. And, you know, I mean, that's what we should do is we should figure out what our priorities need to be and address those things first. So in the first few weeks of this podcast, we talked about the first three big rocks, the first of which is unity in the church, making sure that the church is unified around a new the vision for a new and fruitful future. Without unity, the church really can't go anywhere. And unity was important to Jesus, and it should be important to us. The second component or the second big rock is that of leadership. We need a leader, a called and competent and confident spirit-filled leader who can help people move from where they are to where they need to be. Someone who can cast vision, someone who can mobilize teams and just make things happen. The third big rock is a vision, is a team. And we talked in the last episode that we recorded together about characteristics of a vision team. Who are the people that can work alongside the pastor or the visionary leader to help him set the course for the church and for its future? That primary leader that you have in your church is extremely gifted. That's why you've called him to be your pastor or your leader, but he doesn't have all the gifts necessary to put a plan together to execute and to lead the church into its new future, which brings us to big rock number 4, which is the plan. And honestly, we're going to start with a little bit of biblical foundation regarding the plan, because this is oftentimes the one piece that we tend to get a little bit of pushback from people, because what they don't want to do, and we don't want to either, is simply say, we're simply treating the church like a business. This feels like a business. So Nathan, when you're talking to somebody who's serving in a church, leading a church, an elder in church or council member, and they say, boy, this sure feels like business principles and business practices to me. what's your response? How do you react to that?
There's so much to say about this, really, because lots of people think unless we just do something spontaneously, we're not operating in the spirit of God. And I would argue that God himself is a planner. He's the one who made the universe, everything in it, and has made a plan in which he is executing and we have the privilege to be part of. And so, you know, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain to build it for sure. And we want the Lord to be totally the one who's guiding and directing us, but he can guide and direct us as we make a plan as well as he can in the moment. Same, you know, I think it's actually more earnest for us biblically to work to make a plan. You know, Jesus talks about this actually quite a bit. You know, one of the things he says is, you know, you desire to build a tower, you better consider the cost before you sit down and do that. But also, how can two walk together unless they agree? And how can we agree unless we talk about and discuss what we're going to do together? So there's lots of, you know, a multitude of counsel. There is wisdom. And so planning, I think, is part of one, I think it reflects God himself in terms of how he operates and how he operates, but it's also prudent stewardship of our responsibility as leaders to take and move what God has asked us to in a forward direction. And we invite the Lord, of course, by prayer and in submitting to his word and all the things that we're doing in the process of planning. So making a plan is not, I think it's the opposite of being anti-biblical. I think it's totally biblical in aligning ourselves with the Holy Spirit of God as we work together as a team to work towards creating a better future together, being led by your Spirit to do it.
We have an entire category of scripture that we refer to as prophecy. And what prophecy is, if we can just bring it down to its basis level, is God revealing his plan to right. selected men and women to whom he wants, for whom he wants to communicate that plan, yeah. right? So God is a planner. We saw from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden after the fall, God had a plan for redemption. We see God use both people and plans throughout the history of Israel. Two of my favorites are Joshua and Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the man with the plan. Love the book of Nehemiah and the leadership and the planning lessons that we learn there. Jesus continuously told his disciples of the plans for the future. God's a planner. We're made in his image. And I think that it should come naturally to us to think about the way that we plan for the future. And I think I'll just double click on something that you said there a moment ago, is that if we are to walk in unity, the only way we can walk in unity is if we both know where we're headed. Right. And the only way we can know where we're headed is if there is a plan. So right. I've got a few other scriptures here that I'm just going to throw out here because, you know, we want to make sure that people understand that planning is a biblical principle. Proverbs are full of passages about planning. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Proverbs 16:9 says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And again, yeah. I think that this is us saying that God has a plan and we have a plan. We need to make sure that we're in line with God's plan. Absolutely. He's going to win anyway. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Yep. And of course, Proverbs 21:32, that's one of your favorites, Nathan.
Yeah.
Why don't you share that one?
The horse is ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. So we got to, you know, we got to prepare the war horse. If we're going to go to battle, we better be, you know, getting it ready. But really, in the end of the day, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And the Lord is the one who gives us victory. But we need to prepare and make sure that we're ready to take on what God's asking us to do. And especially as we're trying to mobilize his people to do it together, right? I think this is the big part of planning, I think, that sometimes people miss. I think it's like going on up on the mountain and coming down with the oracle from God in terms of what we're going to do. And there's some of that in terms of vision, but ultimately we want to unify the people of God towards the same goals and aims so that we can do this together. And that's really important. And unless we have thought it through and we have a good plan, ideally with other people to help us build it, you know, we're going to have a really hard time unifying people towards the end goal and working cooperatively together to accomplish it.
Okay. So if our audience has been following along with us, they have unified their church around a new and different future, a fruitful future. Yep. There is a leader who is called to lead this church through renewal and revitalization. That leader has put together a team of people who he believes God has placed in his circle of influence to help him lead this church to the next phase. And now you and I are talking about
ideally help him build this plan. Right. Like, well, some of those people may not be the same people who help push it forward, but will help right. him actually be rounded in terms of the plan he's building. So this right. is really
but that brings
idea.
Me to my point, Nathan. What is the plan? What are we planning for? Like what? Oh wait, why don't we drill down a little bit into sure. what the components of this plan, this ministry plan, are that we're now convinced that it's a biblical yeah. principle. What are we supposed to be planning?
Yeah, and as a SIS, what we're trying to do is we're not prescriptive. Like we're not going to tell your church this is how you should do this or do that. And a lot of people think that that's what we're doing, and we simply are not. What we are doing is giving them a strategic planning process for them to build their own plan that's unique to them and to their specific situation and the gifts that God's given them, the community they're trying to reach, and how God is leading them as a congregation. So ultimately, we want to give a pathway, a framework by which they can move forward to create a plan led by the Spirit of God to have a new future for the church. The first component, I would say, to what's needed is they have to get clarity on their purpose, right? And lots of times we're trying to do all kinds of things, but we haven't identified and have clarity on the purpose of the church. So what's your unique purpose as a church? And I would spend some time in the scripture around that. I would have spent some time in prayer around that, but we want to arrive at, you know, what is the purpose of the church? And can we bring that down to a really simple, powerful statement or phrase that allows and unifies the whole church around clarity about why we exist as a church. What is this all about? So the first big piece would be getting purpose clear.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we notice when we work with churches that are in a season in which they need to be renewed or revitalized is that there is a lack of understanding of what the whole purpose of the church is in the first place, right? Yeah. And so, you know, biblically, we can go to scripture and say, well, you know, the purpose of the church is ultimately to glorify God. Like that's sure. what we do. We need to be a little bit more specific in that. And I think you can also be more contextual with where God has placed your church and what your unique call and your unique purpose is in the community that you're doing ministry in. Because, you know, the community that I live in, there are a lot of churches, and we could all simply say that our purpose is to glorify God, but each church uniquely has a different personality and is going to reach different people. And I think if we're intentional about defining what our unique purpose is, globally, it's going to be to glorify God, but uniquely, how are we going to do that in the context of our community? Which brings me to really the second part of this plan, which is really the cultural aspect of who we are. Why do we exist? Who we are? Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and I would say also with the purpose piece, there's also the driving mission of Jesus to reach, make disciples. But oftentimes people coming to your church or in your church have a different perspective of why they think the church exists. And so when it's pretty tough to move people in one direction when they all have different beliefs about why they're there. And so that why purpose is a big deal. The second one is who. And that who one is a big one, because who we are is about our culture, our ethos, or, you know, what is it about us that allows us to get after the mission of God together? And there's a lot of things that come into play. And I like to talk about multiple different who's. One who is who the church is as it stands today. Like, what is the exact culture of the church? Because oftentimes people are operating in a culture that they don't really perceive or believe that exists, or they have a current culture that they want to continue, but they haven't defined what those specific things are. So if someone came in from who knows wherever to your church, what would be the things that they see about who you are? What is the community of the church, kinds of people, and the kind of things that they value? What are they? Do you value reaching lost people? Do you value community with one another? Do you value the word of God? Well, what are the things that are true about your culture that already exists? So that's the first one. The second who, which I think lots of people don't focus on, they focus on moving to the third who, which I'll talk about in a minute. But the second who is, what is the culture that currently exists that you're trying to reach? God's called you as a church to reach the people in your community. You're a local church. Yes, God's called you to help in the mission of reaching the rest of the world, which is fantastic, and we should be focused on that as well. But our primary aim is the people God's put right in front of us, the people right across the street. And for most churches, this is where the challenges lie, because they have had a philosophy of ministry, a focus of interest regarding a people that the target has moved on them. So that their church may have seen a significant engagement of reaching lost people and making disciples 20, 30, 40 years ago. And it was awesome, the style of ministry methods that were utilized to facilitate that, which is fantastic. And there's nothing wrong with those methods. But the actual people who are in front of them today are completely different. They've changed so dramatically, and the culture around us is shifting so fast. And you also have all these new people coming in from all different places that didn't grow up in that particular town or that community. So you have all this transition taking place. You have the cultural transition taking place. So we really need to spend quite a bit of time. Who is our target? What is the boundaries of that target? And then what is the dominant or multiple types of cultural what is the nature of the people who live here? Who are these people, and what do they value? It doesn't mean necessarily that we're going to compromise everything we're doing to completely lean to that, but we have to understand who the target is. And we have to, I call it missiological work. We have to do our missiological work. We're missionaries to these people And we need to reach them for Jesus. How do we make connection points and figure out what is the best way to engage them? They can hear and understand the gospel and follow Jesus through the work of our church. So that's the second one. And that's a big job.
Yeah. So we've got, who are we?
Who are we currently?
Who are we called to reach?
Who are we trying to reach?
Okay, Horton's still listening for another who, Nathan. Who's the other?
Well,
what's the other
who? We've actually got two more who's today.
Okay. All right. So, give me another who.
The third who is, who do we aspire to be? Like oftentimes God's putting something in the leader's heart, especially like I always wanted a church that we were like this. We were these kinds of people. We were doing these kinds of things. And that's nothing wrong with that. Or the scripture is showing us that we want to be this way. So, you know, we want to be generous, or we want to be effective at really having true community. Whatever God is calling from the scripture to your heart by his spirit in your church to take on, you know, we want to listen to that. And so we want to hear what those things are. We want to put them out there. And the last two is actually bringing all those things together based upon who we currently are. And oftentimes in the current strength of the church, there is something there that we can use. We don't have to change that particular strength, because once we know our current culture and we know the culture we're trying to reach and where we're trying to go, what the idea would be that God would make us to be. Who do we need to become to be more effective to reach the people God's called us to reach and be the people who he wants us to be? Because we have to put that all together. We have to bring all those who's together and consider them to think about getting that last who figured out. And we need all the other three who's to get there. And we have to have them in view. So we may have a really strong community base to our church. We may have a really strong focus on children, which is great. Well, our community is all young families moving in. Well, we've got some really strong winning components to our current culture that will allow us to have inroads and engagement to the community we're trying to reach for the mission God's called us to. Or we may not. We may be all an age congregation. All there are is new families and young families coming into the community. And that's not necessarily what we need. So how do we figure out how to adjust ourselves so that we can really accomplish the mission of reaching the people God put in front of us?
Yeah, I think this is a really important thing. And you almost slid past it a little bit there. So I want to kind of reemphasize this, is that there's a natural assumption, I think, from outsiders coming in, that when a church needs to be revitalized or renewed, that everything about it needs to change. And that is not always the case. And I think this is a really important thing for church leaders, for churches to hear, is that there are already characteristics and qualities about your church. You have unique gifts, talents, experiences, and positioning that could actually be very helpful in you reaching the people that God's called you to reach. You just haven't realized how to put those things into an action plan to actually reach the people that God's calling you to reach.
Or even identify them, that these are actually your strengths, or identify that the community actually, that's a connection point to the community, and we can then bridge that.
Exactly.
And so that's why when you can actually do the kind of community acts of Jesus, the missiological work, we can say, you know, God's called us to reach these people. Who are these people that God's called us to reach? And then who are we? Then who do we need to become to actually be effective? Not compromising the scripture, not compromising our faith, but to be more effective at accomplishing. It's interesting that Paul says, I've become like all people so that by his grace I might reach some, right? That's mm-hmm. what he says. So he calls us to this missiological work for the sake of the gospel, not compromising the Bible, not compromising scripture, but compromising our cultural norms, what we would want to enjoy or what we think is the right way to operate, so that we can be more effective to reach the people who live in their culture and their cultural context. And that's really an important thing for the mission of Jesus.
Now, was that all the who's? Do you think you got them all in there?
Yeah, I got all the who's.
Okay, all right. He got all the who's in there. So I'm gonna make a statement before we move on to the next part.
Sure.
And that is this. Every church, when they're thinking about renewing or revitalizing, they almost naturally go to the what.
Yes.
What do we need to do? And so we've just spent the last 10 minutes or so talking about exploring why you exist,
yeah,
and the culture that you're called to reach and the culture that you need to cultivate in your church to be effective at reaching the people that God's calling you to reach. The culture to me is one of the most important things. And the reason so is that historically, at least in the last half of the last century, our focus as a church has been to either draw people in through programs or through preaching. Those are the things. It's either the pulpit or it's the programs that become the linchpin for whether or not people are going to connect in our church. The challenge with that is what you attract people with is what you attract people to.
Yeah.
And when people are clinging to the things that got them in the first place, such as a great preacher or a great midweek kids program that starts with the letter A and ends with another letter A and has wah in the middle, whatever it is, when the threat of those things being removed or changing comes, the people are more connected to those things than they are to A, either the mission of the church, or B, the thing that we really want them to be connected to, which is the relationships. So when we create a culture and it's people are connecting with us and stuck with us because of the culture and the relationships and the community experience and not this particular preacher or these particular programs, then we're building a ministry foundation that has the ability to endure things like pandemics that shut the world down, or pastoral transitions, or ministry philosophies that need to adapt to an ever-changing culture around us. So we put a lot of time and a lot of energy on the first half of this, which is identifying who we are, why we exist, and cultivating the culture before we get to the what we do, because it really does need to inform that. So let's talk a little bit, Nathan, about what it is that we actually need to be doing. Do we need to rip out the pews and put in a fog machine and get some laser lights? Is that what we need to do? Is that part of our plan?
I don't think so. I mean, you guys can make each church can make their own decisions about what they want to do with the physical characteristics of their church, their services, or their outreach programs, or whatever. But your value propositions, they have to drive it. They're also driving who you are as a follower of Jesus in this context, in this day, for the people you're trying to reach. So it's really a big idea. But yes, the what is what everybody wants to talk about, and they want to get right to it. But if we don't have clarity on our purpose, and we don't have clarity on our who we are, what we value, it's gonna shape these things in a really difficult way. But now that I have clarity on those things, now the next thing I want to do is how am I going to reach the community? Like, that's the first step. How are we going to connect and reach the people who are lost? But that's a big challenge. So what's our strategy going to be? Of course, we've already done some of that work in the community exegesis, the missiological work that we've done. But based upon our purpose and who we are, how are we going to go after reaching these lost people? And that's a really big thing. So we have to create a strategy around how we're going to reach lost people individually and also corporately together as God's people. So that's the first kind of big piece. The second one is now that we've connected and we're reaching these people, how do we integrate them? And we maybe have a connection with them. Maybe we're seeing some people getting saved, which is great. But how do we integrate them into our faith community? Like, how do we actually move them from where they are into our community as the church? And then once we actually integrate them into the church relationally and practically, well, are we making them healthy disciples? And that's the next question. So how do we make them a healthy disciple? And we have to ask the big question is, what does a healthy disciple look like in your context? And we really want to build intentionality to how we're actually developing and delivering on really making disciples, because Jesus called us to go and make disciples. And the last one is really about how do we develop leaders? Not everybody is going to be a leader in your church. I mean, we could hope it's true, but that's not really how it works. But we need to make a plan for how we're actually developing, finding, recruiting, and developing leaders, because that's how we're actually going to grow as a congregation and then actually prepare ourselves to multiply as a church. So those would be the components with how we're going to reach the lost, how we're going to integrate them into our faith community, how we're going to make healthy disciples in our context, and then how we're going to grow and multiply leaders for what we're doing and also for multiplying the kingdom outside of us.
Yeah, so all defined really by our purpose as a church.
Yeah.
I'd like to use the example of, well, this is what I say. I like to say that every church, every good, healthy church is doing three things and doing them three things equally well. They are making new disciples, discipling those disciples, and then equipping those disciples to reach their full potential for Jesus, which in some cases is becoming leaders. In some cases is sending them to plant new churches or into the marketplace where they can be a gospel light in the community. it's making new disciples, discipling those disciples, and really sending disciples, right? The church is not meant to be a reservoir, a lake where we hoard everything to ourselves and we're all inward focused. It's meant to be more like a river where things are flowing through. And we want to be doing all three of these things equally well. Now, if you're listening to this podcast, you realize we're already a half hour in and we don't have time to break down all three of those things. But we are going to do this. We are going to be recording at least three future episodes of this podcast, one on outreach and evangelism. What does it look like to have a holistic outreach and evangelism strategy in your church? How do you move a person from an initial relational connection to actually being a person who is saying yes to Jesus? We want to move them along a pathway, and we think steps, we think pathway. Another episode we are going to record is what makes a good and functional discipleship pathway? What are all the pieces that should be considered? How do we define, as you said just a moment ago, how do we define what a healthy disciple looks like in our context? In between there or somewhere along the way, we will also record an episode on an engagement pathway. How do we actually integrate people into the body life of our church? Because a lot of people are not going to actually come to faith in Jesus until they've had a little bit more relational engagement and maybe even some level of integration or assimilation or engagement into your spiritual family.
Bart, I would say too, that is what happens with lots of churches is they start to see some traction and movement happen. And God starts bringing them people by his grace and through his spirit. And then they stop the intentional development of their program. So like lots of times people are just focused. A lot of guys are just focused on what's happening on that Sunday morning experience. And there's nothing wrong with focusing there with a lot of energy, because that's the primary face of the church in lots of ways. And it's where your community of people are gathered together and connecting with one another. So it's in a really important component to who your church is and how you function. But it's not the only component. Like you could be growing really strongly because you have a really great communicator and all the Christians are coming to your church, but no one's getting saved. We have to focus on how are we actually reaching the lost in our community. You may be a growing church and healthy in terms of the finances and the people sitting in the pews, but it doesn't mean that you're actually a healthy church if lost people aren't being found. Now, on the other side of it, you may be reaching lost people and you may be growing big numbers in the church, but there's no one being discipled. They're not moving down a journey of actually growing and becoming mature. And then beyond that, there's no leaders being developed. You're not starting new churches. You're not sending out missionaries. You're not actually producing seed for the rest of the kingdom to really flourish. So what happens, I think, lots of times with guys is as the church starts to grow, of course, the demands on them do as well. But they settle into where they're strong. And usually it's that communication space, that Sunday morning experience. And all these other components need to be part of it. To have a healthy, thriving church that's not just growing in the moment, but will sustain growth over the long term and also multiply, you need to have all of these components. You need to be able to reach the lost, integrate them into your community, make disciples, and develop leaders. And if you don't have all those pieces actually built and working, you're always going to adjust them. You're always going to change them. But if you don't, you're not actually a healthy, thriving, long-term church. You are a short-term expression. And if something goes wrong, you're going to be, it's going to hurt the church in a big way.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, we know this. And I have both, served on staff as pastors, and we rub shoulders with pastors all the time. It's regretful that we often define the win for a church by how many people show up on Sunday. Right. You go to pastors' conferences and you see people you haven't seen for a while. And I joke around this about this sometimes is, when you're in the business world or you meet people at a social event, social gathering, the common question that people ask is, so what do you do? They want to, you're defined by your occupation. In the church space, in the pastor space, the question is, so what are you running? That's pastor speak for how many people show up on Sundays to hear you preach. And when we define our success by how many people are simply showing up on Sundays to hear us preach, then I think we're missing the mark, because, there's nothing scriptural about, about simply having a large gathering. The scriptural foundation for what we're trying to do here is it's Great Commission, right? It's making disciples, teaching, baptizing those disciples and teaching them to obey and rinse and repeat. Like that's the ultimate.
I would say also on the other side, like, so to me, I focus on two sides of that. One is, are we effectively reaching lost people? And are we effectively sending out leaders to multiply the kingdom? Because both those things are going to tell you everything you need to know about the rest of it, right? Because sometimes you're really good on the front end, but horrible at the back end. Or you're even good at the back end, but you're really not that good on the front end. You're just bringing in believers who are coming, which is, I don't have any problem. God can move his people to your church, and that's awesome. So don't mishear that. But at the same time, if the only growth that you're receiving as a church are other believers coming to you because you get a great program and excellent communication skills, then how are we capitalizing to make sure that we're actually mobilizing the people God sent you to be effective at the mission of reaching the lost? And that's ultimately where we go. But to me, part of the, you know, as we think about these components, we're not done yet. And lots of guys, they finish, even after they build those all those components, they're done. But I don't think you really have a complete comprehensive strategic plan unless you finish the last question. So the first question is who? The second question, the first question is why? The second question is who? The third question is what? What are we going to do? What does the church look like? And the fourth question is where are we going to go? And I think that's a really big question. And it should pull all that together. You know, why we exist, who we are, accomplishing this mission, doing this stuff to reach the lost and make disciples. Where are we going to be 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now as a congregation that God's calling us, the vision God wants us to do? And when I think of vision, sometimes people just think of the last piece or the first piece. I think it's all of it. We need all these different components to give us a comprehensive strategic vision to know why we exist, who we are, what we're going to do, and where we're headed. And when we know all those things, boy, it's exciting. Is it unifying and is it clarifying for us to know how we use people, how we move them, and what we do together?
Yeah, I think that's really it's really well said. It's that vision that really pulls us into that preferred future. The vision is the defined preferred future, and I'll use this really simple or simplistic analogy. You know, if you've got a family that lives in Texas, like I do, and you want to take your family on a trip to Disneyland or Disney World, whichever one is in Orlando. We're going to go to Orlando and see the Disney people, the big rat with the ears. His name's Mickey. And when we do that, there's a vision for what the experience is going to be like. We have this idea of what it's going to be like to take our kids to Disney. And in order for us to really fulfill the potential of what that trip could be, we've got a plan for it. We've got a budget for it. We've got to strategize around what the experience can be. There are going to be some things that we have to say no to in order to be able to say yes to certain other things. Yep. And if we make the plan and we execute the plan, certainly there are going to be things that, you know, that don't go exactly according to plan along the way. But when we get there, we have a much better chance of living out what we imagined and envisioned that experience being. And it's a really silly and really simplistic example of it. But I think that, you know, because as we're sitting here talking about this, this is a lot of big theory stuff. Who are we? Who are we called to reach? How are we going to reach them? You know, what is our preferred future? And for a lot of pastors, a lot of leaders, this can be very intimidating because you may be a very high caliber visionary leader, but not really strong on the strategy part. Or you may be a leader who is excellent on execution, but perhaps you struggle a little bit with the visionizing piece, which again, we just reiterate is why the team is so important. Any parting shots before we wrap this one up, Nathan?
No, I think I just want to encourage people to think about a larger comprehensive plan. Lots of times when we're working with churches, they want to have the pastor. That's the only thing they're thinking about. We need to have the pastor. Or the pastor thinking about, I'm worried about my preaching, and preaching is important, or they're thinking about, we just want to reach lost people, which is awesome, but are we thinking about what we're going to do with them once we reach them? So I would say intentionality is a big part of it. Like making a plan, putting intentionality, and then being flexible, because God's going to change your plans. You're going to see what God is doing and how he's working, and everything needs to be adjusted. But I would encourage people to think about the big one. Like, what is the full plan? Not just a piece of it, a component of it, but how does it all come together so that we have an opportunity to re-engage the kingdom of Jesus with a complete strategy of how we're reaching the lost, and making disciples and developing leaders and multiplying his church together with his people.
I would like to say that one other part of the plan needs to be the plan to pray. You need to plan to pray. And really, honestly, you need to never stop praying. Because you started this by saying that we can plan and allow the Holy Spirit to help us form our plans, to shape our plans, to guide our plans, to establish our plans. And prayer is a much, much needed part of this entire process. We need to be praying through. In fact, you've got people in your church whose primary gift in the church is intercessory prayer. So mobilize those people to be praying for you as a leader and your vision team and the strategies and the plans that you're putting in place. Otherwise, guess what? All you are doing is implementing business practices into the church, because that's the one difference between what we do in the church world and what the business world does, is that we are trying to be spirit-filled, spirit-led in everything that we do to accomplish a kingdom purpose here. So pray.
Amen.
Psalm 20 verse 4 says, may he grant your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. See, God wants you to plan and he wants to fulfill your plans. So commit it all to him. Hey, if you're new to the podcast, we want to make sure that you subscribe wherever you're listening so that you don't miss future episodes. We release 2 episodes of this podcast every month, and we plan to do that for quite a while. So you're here in the first 7 episodes. There's lots more great content coming in the near future. So make sure that you subscribe. Leave us a rating or review wherever you listen to your podcast. That helps feed the algorithms of the interweb so more people can find the podcast. And if you click over to our website, revitalizemy.church, you can subscribe to our blog, subscribe to our email list. We're going to have some additional content and resources available there. In fact, one of the things that I'm planning to have on the website by the time this episode drops is a PDF that you can download in order to do some community exegesis, both internal and external, asking those questions. Who are we? Who are we called to reach? And working as a vision team to sort of extrapolate that and put some stuff down on paper. So click over to our website, poke around. If there's something that you've heard us talk about that maybe we haven't provided resources for that would be helpful for you, shoot us an email, fill out the contact form on the website, and maybe we'll get to that. If we don't already have something together, maybe we'll get to it eventually. Nathan, thanks again for joining me and all of our listeners on the Revitalize My Church podcast.
Oh, great to be with you today, Bart.